Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Relationships by nature hold up a mirror for a person. They reciprocate behaviors and energies. Everything is an energetic exchange. In a romantic relationship, I am not your mother.
That's right.
A potential partner for me is not my father. Exactly. They're not going to necessarily give me unconditional love. And you're so perfect, Nikki. They're going to say, these are the things that I love about you, but we're having some shortcomings in this department. Ooh. And vice versa. High performing, high achieving individuals don't tend to like that feedback.
This episode of Becoming Her is brought to you by Sana Skin Studio. Sana is a skin studio that is shifting the relationship with your skin and your products through goal-driven facials, real guidance, and clean skincare. Stay tuned for my unique promo code so you can get $35 off of your first facial at Sana Skin Studio.
Welcome to the Becoming Her podcast with me, Nikki Spolstra. This is a space where we explore the human experience and the challenges, obstacles, and resiliency that shape who we are. Alongside expert guests and featured friends, I am here to host meaningful conversations that tackle life's complex challenges with humor, grace, and a little bit of sass. You are here for a reason, for the collective growth, so we may deepen our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I am joined today by Nikita Ren Thigpen. Nikita Ren Thigpen is on a mission to build stronger families that leave new multi-generational imprints witnessed from the ripples of love, empathy, adventure, victory, and edification they create from their self-actualized wholeness. Nikita is the number one balance and relationship advisor in the world, activating power couples and potent humans who privately identify with witty, tongue-in-cheek humor as lazy overachievers. Although most of her clients are founders, entrepreneurs, or entrepreneurial-centered organizations, the commonality is that they all honor the need to rest and recharge with room for relationship bliss just as much as the desire to dominate audacious milestones. I love this energy. Let's learn how Nikita helps these power couples thrive. Welcome, Nikita. I am so, so, so happy you're here.
Oh, Nikki, I am super thrilled to be here. You know, we've been doing this dance waiting to connect for a little while. So welcome. Absolutely. 2025.
Here we are. Listen, Nikita, I'm not going to lie. I have always seen myself as a great candidate for a potential power couple companion. And my aunt always told me since I was a kid that as a girl and woman with my own intense personality, that I was never meant to be the wing beneath someone's wings, but actually a woman who flies alongside her partner. And well, I'm not sure I've had the opportunity to experience that yet in my life, but I sure am hopeful. So I'm really excited to chat with you. You know, you have so many notable things that you've accomplished, and you've had such a successful career in helping families push through trials caused by trauma, lost confidence, and communication challenges that impact intimacy with their relationships. And I would love to talk with you more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely been a long, nearly 30 years of being in the game. My company is only 13 and a half or almost 14 years old out in the streets.
I feel like you are a veteran, girl. You are a veteran.
I love to say only because I feel like we are very much teenagers, right? Like, and if you're familiar with siblings, cousins, friends, when you're in that teenage stage, you are about to show your behind. And that's pretty much where we are from our company perspective.
I like that analogy.
Thank you. Working with so many of these beautiful individuals that are wrapped in their successes, their portfolios are covered with accomplishments on so many levels, and then they don't feel like they can truly say that they're successful, regardless of the 0000 and plus in their bank accounts, has been really interesting. One of the biggest truths that are probably consistent across whether they're a founder, a leader, they've made their fortune in tech or whatever, has been that they feel like they're not enough. And a lot of that head trash, to call it what it is really—
I like that.
Right, is head trash, is built on early scripts. Now, this isn't to blame biological parents or guardians, although there has to be some culpability that we take. I myself am a parent of two adult children, and we have grandbabies at this age, so I have to be really mindful that not every mistake that they make in their adult life is because of something that I did wrong in my parenthood, but I do have to look at whether or not there's any connection. So many times what a lot of these individuals within their couple union, I'll just address them as individuals first, because that's how you come hopefully into
that's
a relationship.
Right. For sure.
A lot of them had really holistic families, nuclear families. They were raised with both parents, not in all cases, but in many cases raised with both parents, the proverbial picket fence, corner house, like all the things. So on paper, they are questioning, like, what's wrong with me? I went to, you know, all the best schools, maybe even boarding school. I've done all these great things. And or they worked really, really hard through the trenches, but they feel like their parents gave them everything they could. And they're not wrong. They did. But many of them felt like they were a burden because the parents were booked and busy, were working so hard in international streets and domestic streets. They were away a lot. So the aunt, the grandmom, sometimes the nanny that took care of them, who were loving and helpful, were not the replacement or the supplement for the parents the way the parents thought that they were. So what was left was a child who felt like they weren't enough for the parent to stay home. They weren't good enough to—
That hurts.
Right, exactly. And it's a reality of you're doing the best you can, which is often what we have to come back to center to. Your parents are human. So I'm not talking about the parents who were evil individuals who purposefully harmed their child. So we're just going to move them across the table. Work with those families too. But those are not who we're talking about. We're talking about the people like myself who worked her way through school, who had 3, 4, and 5 jobs at a time while being married with the children, all the things, doing the best. But I missed quite a few practices, right? I missed soccer practices. I missed some dance recitals. I remember my daughter, who's 24 now, was maybe 7.5, 8.5 years old. And she called me out at the table, like, you are awesome for everyone else but me. Because you're the parent in the back of the room. I'm dating myself a little bit, but on my palm pilot, right? Like in the back, I wasn't conversing with the other moms when she was in, you know, her many thousands of activities that we had her in. Because for me, that was a statement of being a good parent. I'm making sure that you're getting a well-rounded childhood, right? Like we're spending money we don't have. I'm carpooling. I'm doing all the things that I can possibly do. Weekend warrior mom with all the birthday parties and all the invitations with the people you don't even want to be around, but your kid has some kind of friendship with them. So you're doing all the things. And what she pulled from it was, I noticed that you're not actually looking up at me. You're working.
Wow.
Right. And
wow,
for a little person, I mean, can you blame them? Like what matters is, hey, I'm selfish intentionally and in a positive way. I want my parent to be all about me. And I'm like, I want to be able to pay for this dance class. Right. I want to be able to pay for soccer and karate and whatever else. And your dad's working multiple jobs, too. Like we're doing these things for you. But the kids are taking away different messages. And so these kids are now adults that are in relationships anchored in, I've checked off all the boxes, all the boxes that matter to me, boxes that I didn't even know that I wanted to check off. And I started.
Or that they think matter.
That they think matter. Exactly, Nikki. And that I'm feeling worse or lonelier. So we have to do what I call root to thread work, where we're following the threads of the symptom that they're mentioning. You know, oh, My partner, my friend, my ex-friend of 25 years, right? Because sometimes the relationship breakups that are most intense for them are the friendships, not the romantic ones. And that's for everyone, not just
so true.
For these people, right? And they'll talk about how they didn't feel heard or they felt like this person was literally just trying to mimic their life. And sometimes they're very true because sometimes we're attracting the validation, but not attracting the authentic and transparent version of a person that we really want, because those people will not yes us. Those people will tell us the real. Girl, your slip is showing. Pull it up. Right? From love, not to embarrass you, mm-hmm. not to call you out. But we're so used to having people say, oh, Nikki, you're fantastic. Everything yeah. about you is magical. And that's true too. But let me know my slip is showing. Like, let me know something is going yeah. on that doesn't look like the version of what I think it makes me look like. And with love, which is what I preface everything with, if you are saying it because you're trying to embarrass me, you're trying to minimize me, you're being passive aggressive, those are the people that I've attracted because of some other hurt part of me. The person who's giving me that same constructive criticism with love is trying to help me be a better human, a better version of myself.
I love that you're saying this, because it's like, I personally, Nikita, feel so fortunate that I've had such a strong group of friends that I've had for a very, very long time, like since I was a kid. And a lot of these individuals, you know, they hold me accountable. They're like, you're ugly as showing. Like, you're being a brat. You're being a bee. You're being unreasonable.
Come on.
Like, this is not appropriate behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, you should not have done that. When I come and tell them a story about, oh my gosh, this happened and I said this, they're like, you shouldn't have said that. Like,
right.
And I remember feeling like, well, I said it, now what? Like, don't shame me. They're like, we're not shaming you, but like, don't do that again. Like, how about don't do that? Yeah. And I feel really, really grateful for it. But something that I'm hearing you say, it's like, we're attracting validation, but what are real relationships really made of? And so we have these, we grow up and then we seek out, whether it's a friendship or a romantic partner, who's just like, we want our mother in them or our father, the unconditional love and support, when relationships by nature hold up a mirror for a person, right? They reciprocate behaviors and energies. Everything is an energetic exchange, right? We are nobody's, like, as a woman, right? Because I am a woman. In a romantic relationship, I am not your mother.
That's right.
Right? And I think we grow up to want that. Just like a potential partner for me is not my father. Exactly. They're not going to necessarily give me unconditional love. And you're so perfect, Nikki. You're not, you're so perfect, Nikki. They're going to say, these are the things that I love about you, but we're having some shortcomings in this department. Oof. And vice versa, right? High performing, high achieving individuals don't tend to like that feedback. I consider myself a high achieving, high performing individual. I don't always like that feedback, Nikita. It doesn't feel good for my ego. I'm like, what, me? You're telling me I'm not perfect? Well, even though, like, I know that I'm not perfect, like, hearing it from somebody that I care about, I'm just like, right? I'm like, no. And I think that it's human nature to want to do this. So if we're addressing the individual first, right, as we go into our lives and we pursue these high achieving careers, we want to do the most, we want to live the best life for whatever our motivations are.
Yeah.
And then we also, as those individuals, are pursuing romantic relationships that we are wanting them to thrive, right? I think that's the goal of most romantic partnerships. We want to create an environment that thrives. How do we do that?
Well, the first thing I want to call out, you said something that's such a hot button issue in some of, like, my advisory circles, is about the unconditional love in romantic relationship. Now, this is debatable because, you know, as much as I am a scientist from a human behavior science and metaphysics science, we can find plenty of articles to justify you attracting unconditional love, and we can find some that say it doesn't exist. I am on the latter. I don't believe unconditional love exists when we're talking about someone who didn't raise you / birth you, right? Which the two don't necessarily have to be the same person.
Correct.
In a parent-dominant relationship, that person is going to love everything about you, even your mistakes. They're still going to open their door to you in most situations, assuming you're not a sociopath. They're going to open their door to you if you need to come home. They're going to visit you in the jail. They're going to find ways to raise money for your bond, like, you know, whatever it is for bail money. Your partner isn't necessarily going to hold that same space for you, right? Amen.
100.
And in many ways, you would hope that they wouldn't, because there should be some standards in the relationship. Your mama and your daddy may allow certain behaviors from you because of their own guilt and parenting, because they've done worse when they were a kid, right? That they think the justice system is being over the top. Whatever the case is, your partner expects you to be a safe person for them. And they have to have some conditions on what that looks like. So for all relationships, I always tell people you have to have some non-negotiables going in. If you don't and you're like, oh, I'm open, I'm the ride or die, I'm going to do whatever they want, I'm just so grateful, they're just the best human for me, you're going in to be walked over. If you're going in that way, you're also going to have some really, really horrible surprises in life, and realizing that they don't hold you at the same level that you hold them with not having some non-negotiables. And this isn't a judgment of whether or not you've had these experiences. We've all had these experiences in one relationship or another. But when you know better, you do better, right? I don't know who said that. Wasn't me, somebody else. But when you know better, you do better. So the first thing is creating those boundaries for yourself. Like, what are the 1 to 3 non-negotiables in any romantic relationship or platonic friendship that, and they're usually the same. Sometimes they're the edges look a little bit different if it's a professional relationship. But what are those 1 to 3 things that I don't care who you are, how long I've known you, how I met you, how many kids we had together.
What you do for a living.
What you do for a living, what bills you pay, and whether or not we share custody of dogs, frogs, and cats, right? You cross these lines, it is over. That is it. Now, as a mature adult, I want to talk to you if I see you approaching the lines. I want to open communication. I don't want to wait for you to cross the line for me to burn the I don't want to say house down considering the LA fires right now, but you know what I mean. I don't want to burn the bridge. But with that said, I know that this is non-negotiable for me. So just putting myself on Front Street right now, my number one non-negotiable is I have to feel safe. That is emotionally safe. That is physically safe, and everything that is connected to that. That's just mine. That doesn't have to be Nikki's or Tina's or Tiffany's or Lisa's, but that is mine. So if my husband of 25 plus years, 30 year relationship ever comes to me because he's smelling the air different is what I call it. It's like something got in his nose, right? Some skirt, some whatever got up in his nose. Something feels different for him. And he, for whatever reason, loses his mind and makes me feel unsafe, there's not a conversation that let's go to the court together. It doesn't have to be an angry situation. I will pack your stuff. I will pack my stuff, whatever the case is. This is non-negotiable. If he were to mess up at work and lose money on an investment or something like that for someone else, that's a financial issue. And because it's a trigger from their parenthood, or maybe they, you know, didn't grow up with a lot of safety around finances, that might be non-negotiable. We have to talk about money and big investments. If you don't do that, I don't feel safe. That could be something for someone else. That's not necessarily.
But that contributes to your safety ultimately, right? Like, so like your bracket of safety for you.
Exactly.
Like, has trickle down effect of like, these are the areas where we do need to feel safe in,
exactly,
right? Financial security might be one of those things for you.
Yeah.
Emotional safety is going to might be one of those things for you. Obviously, physical safety, having a roof over your head, like feeling physically safe and cared for, right? Mm-hmm. These are things that like are under the umbrella of safety.
Yeah. For, yes. And I'm glad that you brought that
for
up.
For you.
Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up, because some of the layers of this is where people get their secretness starts to come up. So you have to be clear, right? Yeah. Secrets is a whole thing, which produces shame. And we know from Brené Brown's work, the cure to shame is vulnerability, right? Like all the things.
That's right.
But when we look at something that isn't as black and white, physical safety is black and white to me.
Yes.
If you put your hands on me, right? That is clearly a violation of my physical safety.
100.
Emotional safety isn't quite as black and white, because if I grew up in a house where emotional and verbal abuse was the norm, then it might not be odd for me for my husband to call me an asshole or to say anything like that. Might just be part of the language, the zhuzh of our relationship. That's not for me, but if it was for someone else, that's not the same. So you have to put some definitions around what those things mean. The same as financial safety, which is why I brought it up. When I say, lost some money at work in that kind of hypothetical example, I was thinking of like tens of thousands of dollars. But for someone else, it could be $1,000 was an
unnegotiable. Sure.
Right.
Sure. It's like, what are we spending? Or did you just go on a shopping spree and we didn't have that?
Right.
Or did you make an investment, like a big one, without talking to me or partner about it, and then it tanked?
Yeah.
Right? Like, so I think that it's good that you bring this up, because especially with money, like people don't, people, especially women, we tiptoe around it, especially
yes,
the women who are not like the higher earners, right?
We'll talk about sex before we talk about money.
100%.
It's a big issue. And I think you being clear with yourself what that's bringing up for you, because again, individual first partaker, what comes up for me when I think about, you know, we agreed that we wouldn't spend, I don't know, $500 without having a conversation, and he spent $550. Is that the thing that brings something up around trust issues for you? Or is it, no, he actually spent four times 300 in different increments, but it was all within the same pay period. So he knows he was being sneaky. Like, what's the thing that makes the hair on the back of your neck prickle a little bit? Those are conversations you need to have. Sometimes you don't know until the situation happens. So let's, you know, be honest about that. You don't always know what the trigger is until you've been triggered. But yeah. Also looking at triggers are there to serve you. 100%. When you are triggered, it is telling you, this is an area that I need to pay some attention to and maybe do some work on.
Yeah.
And really pay attention to that and not say, oh, my partner, my spouse, my lover, they triggered me. They caused this. They are the reason that I'm doing this, because that's what abusers say. You're the reason I just hit you.
Totally.
You made me do this to you, right?
No, and so, I am triggered by right. this experience.
Absolutely.
This experience is triggering for me.
Absolutely. And we all have to do better at that. And again, this isn't a, you know, if you mess up and make a mistake, then you're the worst partner in the world, or you're not partner potential. If you happen to be in that open space of, you know, allowing yourself to be courted and play in the play yard a little bit, it is a space for you to say, okay, I want to have a better relationship, or I want to attract a better version of whoever I've attracted before. Maybe I need to look at where I could plug some holes. What is going on with me that I'm not paying attention? Do I have a group of friends that are willing to be honest with me and tell me, girl, no, don't do that. I'm calling you in. This isn't okay. But I'm still doing the same thing that I did in my romantic intimate relationship by saying, I don't know who she thought she was. I don't know why who you think you are telling me about myself. You don't even know. And then I'm going to read you privately or in public. I'm going to read you for all the ways that you don't have the right to tell me anything. When the reality is, whether he, she, they, it was wrong or not, what about whatever the reading is that you want to give them? Did what they say matter to you? Did it bring up something for you that you know is true, even though you don't like the messenger or you don't feel like the messenger was qualified to tell you? Because a therapist or an advisor could tell you the same thing and you still may not hear it.
Well, my former therapist used to always ask me, like, is there a kernel of truth in what is being said right now? Can you identify a kernel of truth, right? Because I would be like, no. I'd hear it and I'd be like, no, right? Because it hurt my ego, the things I was saying before. Like, I didn't like to hear it. It felt uncomfortable. And she'd be like, is there any part of it, a particle, a kernel of this statement that is true? And it's also like, we're just listening to you talk. I'm like, this is an invitation for curiosity, ultimately. Like, yes, I am single. I am in a space where I am allowing myself to be courted, right?
Yes.
When things come up, it's not necessarily like hard no, hard yes. It's an invitation for curiosity. Mm-hmm. Let me learn more about that. Actually, I don't know how I feel about that. Oh, that rubs me the wrong way. Why? Why? Why does it rub me the wrong way?
1,000%.
Right? So it always is an invitation to be curious.
Let's take a quick break so I can thank our sponsor, Sana Skin Studio, with their OG location in Wynwood and their additional locations in Fort Lauderdale and Coconut Grove. Okay, so the best way I can describe Sana is that it feels like coming home. Unlike traditional facials, Sana's facials are rooted in education, and I love this so much. Every experience I've had at Sana has been a chance for me to learn more about my skin and its needs. I love that the facials are effective while also being accessible enough to be a monthly ritual rather than a yearly splurge. This is why the Sana membership is so great. I'm honored to be able to provide our audience with a promo code. Use the code NikkiSpoGlow for $35 off of your first facial when booking at SanaSkinStudio.com and additional incentives if you book a membership. I have absolutely loved my skin healing journey with Sana Skin Studio. If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community, where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow up.
You can connect with me personally on Instagram at @NikkiSapsBo and @WeAreBecoming_her. For more information on all of the things, visit NikkiSpo.com.
Omaha Steaks Black Friday deals landed early. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select favorites, including incredible deals on USDA-certified tender Omaha Steaks. These are the deals you've been waiting for all year. And when you shop OmahaSteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code BLACKFRIDAY at checkout. And don't miss exclusive limited-time savings on uniquely curated packages, delicious favorites, and so much more. But you'd better hurry, because these deals won't last, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the early Black Friday sale now at OmahaSteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select favorites. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code BLACKFRIDAY at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, code BLACKFRIDAY. Terms apply. See site for details.
I'm on curiosity. I'm curious. Do you think that high achieving and high performing women have a harder time partnering up?
Yes, I do. I've actually done a lot of conversations around this. Part of it is because we have walled ourselves in such a thick armor. And that armor
The high achieving women.
The high achieving, high performing women. Absolutely. The armor looks different for everyone based on cultural context, but it's usually an armor of you're not enough because I don't, and if they're honest with themselves, it's because I don't feel enough. So what they'll do is they'll create a portfolio. And when I say they, I can include myself in that. You create a portfolio of accomplishments that are tick marks, you know, this degree, that degree, this certification, this license, this, you know, how many clients I've served, help, blah, 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 whatever it is. And you start to use that as the thing that you hold yourself behind, literally like an armor around you, where now I'm only going to allow myself to speak with romantically, potentially from a courtship perspective. I'm only going to allow myself to speak to people who look like this or better. Well, that number gets lower, right? Like in the reality of our world, at least in the US, I won't speak for international, but at least in the US, that number gets lower for so many reasons. So many men have to be the labor hands of their family. So maybe they can't get the master's. Like women are usually much more highly educated than men, right? So that's tick marks that they don't tend to always have. And the men that do have those higher education marks have been through these streets. They've been through these streets in many ways. So now we're also looking at, oh, you're married. You've been married before. You've been divorced. You had kids. Well, haven't you been married? Aren't you divorced? Don't you have kids, right? But we won't hold that same standard for ourselves. And then the bigger question, ethereal, is should it be a standard, which is a whole separate podcast episode, right? Like, is that a standard at all? When you've just learned better to do better and you've gave yourself the privilege of releasing yourself from something that was toxic or unhealthy for you.
But
you know, we'll move away from that.
We'll do that another time.
We'll do that another time. But the fact that we wall ourselves behind that and give it, you know, kind of a justification for not feeling like someone else is worthy out here in this world. I say in the streets because it's a little colloquial Philadelphia language, but we feel like there's not someone worthy when really it's because our early scripts, which are usually between third trimester of being in our mother's womb up until somewhere between 7 and 9 years old, somewhere in our early scripts, when you follow that thread of the symptom of no one is good enough for me, no one can do this, oh, I'm not dealing with anybody who can't take me on a private plane, you know, whatever it is that we've walled ourselves behind, follow that thread and you will see the root is anchored in an early script. Somewhere along our experience, we were either actually verbally told or we saw something that was interpreted by our little brains that was processing, I am not enough, I am not worthy, or I am too much. People can't handle me. I'm too much for them. My energy is too high. I smile too much. I'm too positive, right? Like we all know those people, whether you're that person or someone in your friend circle that like, girl, you are too happy, right? Like you smiling all the time. Life is not like that. Be
take
honest.
Take it down a notch, girlfriend. Take yourself down.
Yeah, we have all been
I'm her, by circles. The way.
I am too, Nikki. I am too. I have receipts.
I'm the too much girl.
You're too much. Absolutely. It's okay. I am. You're so right.
But yeah, to storytelling, right? Like kind of like rewiring the stories that we tell ourselves. Yeah. And if we look at that root to thread work that you're talking about, mm-hmm. like where did that storyline come from that yeah. I took with me into my adult life, into like my work, my professional world where I thought, oh, I yes. can't have this podcast because who am I? Like, mm-hmm. like who do you think you are? Like, why do you, why are you the expert? Or to into yes. my like romantic partnerships or relationships that I've had throughout my life where I've selected XYZ individuals over time that might have been good for me in some ways and then not good for me in other ways, and what those dynamics became over time, you know? And so I think it's really important that we look at this. And what are the success stories though, right? Because yeah. we can look at like the problems and the potential pitfalls.
Yeah.
What are the, what makes those, the relationships successful, the ones that are thriving, yeah. what is getting them there?
It's honestly first, it's a choice. And I'm going to take it back to something you said, because it's part of the formula for the secret of success, which I say is keep your cap on every day. Your cap is curiosity, adventure, and play. Put that cap on, tighten it, anchor it down. If it blew off in the wind because y'all were going through a tsunami of life events, go find it or create another one and put it back on. That changes the game. A lot of relationships falter. And I'm not even talking about the end date of someone signing a document. Many of these people are still together as roommates because of monotony. Mm. They lost their cap. They took it off. They let it shred in the wind. Put your cap back on. And not just with your partner, but for yourself. If you wake up every day and you're like, what can I be curious about today? What can I do differently? Maybe I always start my day with my tea and my lemon or whatever. Huh. What if I put honey in it, right? Like sometimes it's just a small, like I'm making light of it, but it literally is doing those small things to change your habits and for your brain. Doing something different helps to work that curiosity muscle. The adventure, obviously, you can just be a little bit more silly. Tap into your inner five-year-old is what I like to say. When you were five, you thought you could jump off the steps and fly. You know, maybe in your 40s, you don't want to break a hip. You're not going to do that, right? Like you're going to be a little bit different about it, but you can still have a version of that play. Go to a jump park. Oh my God. The safety of doing that on an actual rebounder that gives you some spring back. Be silly. Everything doesn't have to be so serious all the time. And the play obviously kind of comes naturally with whatever the adventure is. And this isn't the be risky with your life. Your family's going to have access to your will sooner than later type adventure. This is responsible adventure. When we're talking about it inside a couple, it's so important to do things that make you just laugh. Laughter is medicine. So often we'll send couples these boxes. Sometimes there are things that vibrate in them. Sometimes there are things that are just very colorful. But some of the staples that go into it are adult coloring. It could be really fun. During adult coloring, we're just having a conversation. Do you remember our fifth date? Do you remember that time that your silly friend came over and he said XYZ and, you know, we were at the bar or we role played that night? You're just having conversations while stimulating your nervous system in a really healthy way. Sometimes we do strip Jenga, right? Like let's just play and be silly, but do something different than what other people are anticipating. So play is a huge portion of what I recommend for even the stuffiest of couples, for couples that are neurodivergent and may play differently than neurotypical couples. All of those things are possible, but it's playing at a level that makes you feel like you're coming out of your mundane rituals, the things that have become such a part of your everyday recipe, but actually don't add flavor to your relationship anymore. They actually don't even add flavor to you anymore. Mm. Let's change it up.
Oh my gosh, that's a good point. So, you know, just I've been smiling the whole time that you've been saying this because I'm like so much yes, like so much yes. You know, I host an exclusive women's community and it's called Becoming Her. Mm. And one of the women in my community recently said, because she's like, I really generally like where my life is. Like, because I do these one-on-one check-ins with them where I'm like, okay, how are things going? Where are you at right now? Where do we want to get? And she's like, I really, really like where my life is going. And I'm like, okay, going down the list. I'm like, okay, work. Yeah. Kids. Yeah. Okay. Your marriage. Like, how's that going? And she's like, everything's great. And then I was like, okay, moving on. She's like, well, I'd like there to be a little bit more romance. And I was like, oh, she's like, I'd like to feel sexy. And then it opened this whole thing of like, I want to feel sexier. I don't feel sexy. I feel like a schleppy mom all the time and just ugly and blah, right? And she's like a beautiful fit girl. Like she takes care of herself. She's like in the wellness industry and fitness mm-hmm. industry. And I was like, what do you, out of curiosity, like, what do you wear to go to sleep? She's like a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And I was like, maybe we could wear something silk. Like, yeah. And you know, like maybe that's when you're taught, when you made the example of like putting honey in your tea and you don't yes. usually do that. Like maybe instead of the t-shirt, mm-hmm. like of like so-and-so's huge t-shirt, yeah. and maybe that is sexy sometimes too, right?
Do it all day because at the end of the day, I'm freeing me, but in freeing me, I may be freeing someone else. Someone at your son's drop-off or one of the kids' drop-offs are looking like, she is crazy. Who she thinks she is with that blue? And then they go home like, I've been wearing all these nudes. Maybe I should, right? Like they're all that's of a sudden. Right. It's a little seed that got watered by a little moment of you just being consistently who you are in your evolution and not that. Holding yourself back. That's so key.
And how does that impact relationships? Because personally, I feel like I have placed myself in multiple relationships in my life mm-hmm. that I felt like I needed to box myself in, right? Mm-hmm. And like those relationships that I have been in, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was like soul crushing on some level. Yeah. So what I've realized now, it's like, okay, maybe I don't have a boyfriend or a partner, mm-hmm. whatever right now, but I'm also like very, very myself and I feel very mm-hmm. free in that. And I personally believe that if I stay this course, that I'm attracting ultimately the right individual, right?
1,000%.
By continuing to be myself.
1,000%.
So, Nikita, my question is also like over time. So we think mm-hmm. about long-term relationships that stand the test mm-hmm. of time. Mm-hmm. You become different versions of yourself yes. over time. Mm-hmm. How then, especially if there's an age gap,
yeah.
do you continue to find a way to grow together?
Part of it is honestly what we were talking about earlier with choice. The choice is anchored in your communication. Like the way that you catch someone is the way you keep them. And I don't mean it from like a property perspective.
Interesting.
But I believe that everything starts with you being consistent. That's CATCH as an acronym. Mm-hmm. Be consistent in whatever your commitments are. That's your C. Be aware of some of your challenges and some of the things that you have given yourself a pass on with, oh, that's just who I am, where maybe that's not who you need to be in this next chapter, which could be 6 months or 6 years from now, right? Because the way that we meet people, we're often attracting them at the vibe that we're on in that moment of our time.
And that's why I'm continuing to wear my sparkle stuff.
I know that's right. And you know what? You're sparkling now. And honestly, with time, which is the T in CATCH, with more me time with yourself, you might discover, I don't know, in your 40s, you're like, I like sparkle, but I'm really more into neons. Like, I don't know. Sparkle doesn't do it for me anymore. I'm moving towards something else.
You're allowed to change
your mind. You are allowed to appreciate where you've arrived in this moment and to evolve and to expand. And then you do it all over again because you've arrived at another moment. Mm. And you being able to second see and catch is communicate with your partner as you're in this weird space, because this is the place that most people don't have conversations because they're afraid to really talk to themselves in those moments, which is why people are booked and busy instead of being still. But in the stillness, when you are resting and recharge, which is a very scary place filled with guilt and shame for people because of the quiet and all the thoughts that come up, when you're in this, like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like I'm changing. I feel like I'm disconnected. I was so passionate about X and now I don't even know if I want Y and I really don't know what's going on. We start to go inward and we stop communicating with our partners. Mm. We mm-hmm. stop sharing with our really good girlfriends too. We start, what's going on with you, Nikki? I'm good. I can't complain. Right? What's going on with you? And then you become the problem solver for them. You stop sharing.
So true.
I know. Like first partaker. I've been here, honey, like for real. And we start doing it and we lean into our give. We lean into our support. We lean into the overcommitment of all the other things because it allows us to not have to hear what's going on. And not all of it is negative hair trash. Some of it is just an actual spiritual experience of letting you know that it's time to shed. You need to shed some things, shed some ways, shed some people,
yeah.
shed some patterns. You know, the shedding is uncomfortable. Like most times when you're unexpectedly naked and you didn't plan on it, you're like, I didn't lotion up first. Like, you know, give me some warning, but it's time for you to shed. And in the shedding, there's a newness that's coming, but that in between the shedding and the newness is really sticky. And a lot of us
just thinking the word sticky.
I know, it's very sticky. And a lot of us in these relationships, when you're in with a partner and you're like, oh, you know, 10 years ago, I love the way we did this. Now the way he chewed his food get on my nerve. Mm. His breathing patterns is irritating me, right? Like, you know, we start finding, because you're also doing what high achieving, high performing women do. We start to look out and point the finger of what's wrong with the other, because we don't want to hear what's going on within ourselves. So we stop communicating until they've broken a non-negotiable, or maybe one that we never even communicated to them. Now it's, you know what, this isn't working. You know, I don't know what's going on. You just need to date other people. I need to date other people. Like, let's just end it. Because we weren't willing to talk when we were in that sticky shedding period. And if you can communicate, even if you say, babe, I really don't know what's going on with me. Something's happening inside my system. I don't know what it is. It's not an emergency. I'm just feeling not myself. And I don't know what's happening. And allow them to be in the experience of unknowing with you. Now, they shouldn't be trying to guide you through it, because they don't know what you're going through, because you don't even know what you're going through, right? So they shouldn't be trying to like shut you up, cover it up, fix it real quick, because that's a different issue that's coming from their early scripts of being uncomfortable when someone is in a sticky place. But you can say, I don't need you to fix anything. I just need you to be with me in it and know that some things are changing. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what they are, but just ride it out with me. And if anything doesn't feel good to you or feels like it's hurting or harming you potentially, call me in about it. Let me know, because I'm trying to figure this out too. That second C with the first one, being consistent in your commitments, is almost everything next to the H, which is honor your agreements. I don't care what you're going through. Even if you're on your deathbed, you have to honor your agreements or communicate that you can't honor them before the moment of the agree time has come up. A lot of relationships are falling apart because people are like, oh yeah, I'm going to do the dishes on Tuesday and Thursday, and I'm going to take out the trash, and I'm going to do this and do that. And all of a sudden they stop doing them. And other person's like, oh, I can't trust you. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the dishes or the trash.
We're not talking about the trash.
We're not talking about the dishes or the trash, or the fact that you said that you would be the one to pick up the kids or take the dogs to the groomer.
No. It's,
you're being inconsistent. You're not committing to what you said you would do. You're not honoring your agreement. And a lot
you're not
of that,
reliable.
You're not reliable.
I can't rely on your word.
I'm losing respect for you. And a Ooh. Lot of that happens because people skip that T, which is time. You need to be intentionally selfish and have some me time so you can address, you know, the good parts and the sticky parts and have that space for yourself. If you don't do that, you are absolutely going to falter into overly relying on someone else until they disappoint you, because romantic love is it's not unconditional. Or you're going to be the one disappointing, because now you're resenting the very person you were ride or die for.
This is like, I mean, this is a wealth of knowledge right here. I want to come to a space where we can discuss the definition of a power couple, because mm-hmm. I think that society thinks it's Giselle and Tom, mm-mm. Mm-mm. Which we all know mm-hmm. is not mm-hmm. Giselle and Tom.
Exactly.
Right? But that's what we like make it. We're like, it's George and Amal, Clooney, right? No. What is the real power couple?
No.
I like them too. But we all also thought mm-hmm. maybe we thought we liked Tom and Giselle too, right?
Yeah.
At Dwayne and Gabby, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. plenty of examples that we can choose from. And we see couples, you know, if they're not crumbled, and we hope everybody stays happy and healthy and together, if that's what makes them happy yeah. and healthy. We hope these people separate when they're supposed to
Absolutely.
In order to be happy and healthy individuals, right?
Absolutely.
But I think society has a misconception of what a power couple is.
Yeah.
And I would like your take on what it actually is.
Absolutely. I can tell you what it means for us, for you to qualify as a power couple to work with us. You have to be philanthropic influential in whatever your industry is. So I don't care if you make the muffs that go on the microphone, right? Like, it may be something we've never heard of, but you're influential. And when I say influential, I don't mean that you're the go-to person necessarily, but you are deeply anchored into something bigger than you. You have experience and expertise. And the third thing is you have to be an advocate for disproportionately affected people. Doesn't matter who they are to me, but that is hugely important because that's a core value for me, is to make sure that you give, give, and you grow. You don't give until you go broke emotionally, energetically, or in your resources, but you do understand that you should be giving in energy and resources so that you can grow in your gratitude and your appreciation. And for me, that is the grounding and anchoring of being a human in a world where we're all connected, even when we feel lonely and disconnected. So being philanthropic, again, is, yes, that's the financial piece. You should be at a certain space where you can give a dollar to someone else, right? It doesn't have to be millions of dollars. You being influential is, again, that you have something bigger than you, where you're being pulled to contribute from an energetic resource perspective, which could be the work that you do or your hobby. And being an advocate is not negotiable for me. Like, you have to be an advocate. Now, does that mean I need to see you on the 6 o'clock news advocating in the street with a picket line? No. But when I'm having my interview, the consultation for Power Couples to see if we're a good fit, that's hugely important. Then we can look at all the other things. Like, are you ready and willing to do your own internal work? And if you're ready and willing to do that, then I absolutely can amplify the intimacy between you and your partner. But if you're not willing to do it, I can't work with you.
I think there's so much here that I've been writing down, like, as you've been talking, but, like, I think that so many people are looking for a quick fix, right? And we're looking for dopamine hits anywhere we can get them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm not happy, so let me go shopping. Oh, I'm not happy, let me have a glass of wine. Oh, I'm not happy, let me go work out. Mm-hmm. And while some of these things can be great, like, go to work out, that's a good thing,
it's
right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're looking for them in substitute of facing ourselves, then I don't think it's a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm. It's, like, escapism.
If we're looking for, it's escapism. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I can't tell you how many times mm-hmm. I've wanted to escape. You know, I live a sober life. I don't drink alcohol anymore. God mm-hmm. willing, this April, I'll have 5 years of sobriety. I don't drink anymore. But let me tell you, thank you. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, the escapism hasn't left me. I still have the desire to escape. I escape in healthier ways now, right? Mm-hmm. I might read a fiction novel mm-hmm. instead of drowning in wine and drugs, mm-hmm, right? And mm-hmm. that's a lot healthier. That's arguably a lot healthier.
Yeah.
But even still, I'm like, I've tiptoed into over shopping sometimes. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what, girlfriend, you need to look at that.
Yeah.
Like, you're looking for a dopamine hit. So I think that mm-hmm. that part of, like, being really willing and able and ready to like look at yourself and do the internal work, because also even with meds, right? Like, I take medication for anxiety, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I also know that that isn't the only answer.
No.
Like, that is a Band-Aid, right, over like a deeper seated issue that I've had since I was a child. That's something for me.
It's part of something your recipe. Else. It's an ingredient yes. in your recipe.
In the recipe, but it isn't yes. the only answer. The ability to give, and grow, I always say that in my groups, and I say it online all the time, is that the antidote to suffering is service, mm-hmm. is to be of service. And not the type of service where we're doing that as a dopamine hit where we're not facing ourselves. Mm-hmm. But in the to your point about being an advocate and yes. using your influence mm-hmm. is like to be of service. And also on the note of philanthropy, I think philanthropy can be a very intimidating word for people
yes.
because they think of philanthropists and they're like, oh my gosh, I have to give millions. I have to give hundreds of thousands of dollars. No, mm-hmm. You can have a philanthropic mindset.
Yes, right.
Where
that's right.
you can give a dollar to a cause because that's what you can afford to do.
That's right.
Right. You can have a philanthropic mindset where you say, you know what, on every first Saturday of the month, I'm going to go volunteer and give food to XYZ people.
That's right.
Right. Or on every month, I'm going to take out all of these clothes that I don't wear and I'm going to go take them to a shelter. Right. Philanthropy isn't just financial. And I want to kind of destigmatize
yes.
the idea of this because I personally identify as a philanthropist.
Yes.
And I do give money and time and treasure and all mm-hmm. time, treasure and talent. Mm-hmm. I give all those things,
mm-hmm.
but that can look so different for so many people. And yeah. I think that everybody, if they are breathing air, mm-hmm. has an ability to have a philanthropic mindset.
Absolutely. I mean, think about the young people who may be privy to listening to this podcast episode right now because their parent has it on speaker, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. playing out loud. When you offer to tutor a friend, who's struggling in math class. When you offer to share your sandwich, if kids are still eating in cafeterias, I have no idea, post-COVID life.
I think they are.
Right. Like, I don't know. My kids are 24, 28.
My kids do. Right?
Oh, okay. Like, I'm a little, and my grandbabies are 5 and 6, so I'm like super removed from it. But when you're able to just share a version of yourself, thinking of energy and resources. And I like that you said time, treasure, and talent.
Talent.
Whatever that looks like, because I know that that's a question too. Like, well, what is my talent? I don't feel talented because head trash, right? Like the things head that trash. Come up. Your talent could be something that you could do without a second thought. Maybe that's a spreadsheet. Maybe you have a coworker who is really struggling. Not that you're volunteering to do their work, but like, let me go help Susie better understand how to plug in these formulas. Or maybe I'll record a Loom for her and send it over. It doesn't have to be, you know, in person necessarily, or right sitting next to someone. Adding, if you shop on, I don't know, what are the apps? Instacart groceries or something to get your groceries delivered. There is a space where you can add additional to the tip. The people working in Instacart make, I think, $2.50 an hour, similar to wait staff do. So they rely on the tips. Maybe bump the tip up. That is a way for you to be supportive in so many different versions of yourself. And obviously, when you have more, you give more. When you have more time, when you have more energy, when you have more financial resources, you give more. But even if you can only give a dollar, like, I wasn't being sarcastic when I said that, you might only have a dollar. There have been moments, because God knows we were poor young Black parents, when we only had a dollar and I really needed that dollar, but I gave it anyway. And I stand on it. I would do it again 1,000 times over.
Good for you. I love that. Nikita, I feel like we need a whole second interview to get into some of the other things that I want to get into. I have loved talking with you. I would love to have you speak to my online exclusive women's group of Becoming Her. And I want to like be your friend in real life.
Oh, yes. Honey. We can do all the things. All the things.
Awesome. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you. You have a very refreshing take on things. I love talking with you about what it means to be a power couple and what it means to be like a power individual, really, right? Because that's what leads. You can't be in the couplehood without being the individual first. And I've been really, really inspired by our conversation. I can't wait for everybody to hear it. If you love this conversation, like it, leave a review, a positive review, give it 5 stars. Nikita, where can people find you?
The easiest is thigpro.com, our parent company website, which is thigpro.com. And I'm on all the platforms at Ask Nikita.
Love to see it. All right, Nikita, have the best day. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with my audience.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Sana Skin Studio. Be sure to use my code NIKKISPOGLOW for $35 off of your first facial at Sana when booking via sanaskinstudio.com. More than a skin studio, Sana is a movement towards healthier skin and self-love. Thank you for listening to the Becoming Her podcast. If you love this episode, share it with a friend who may need to hear what we spoke about today. And if you really love this episode, make sure to leave a 5-star rating and a review. Your comments are so important and valued, and they give other listeners insight on what to expect from Becoming Her. If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community, where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow up. You can connect with me personally on Instagram at @NikkiSapsbo and @WeAreBecoming_Her. For more information on all of the things, visit NikkiSpo.com. My hope for you today is that you are courageous and looking inward so that you can be your highest, most authentic self and go after the life of your dreams.